utter destruction. That was the feeling I had as I dialed the Falcón guest house the day of my mother's wake. My aunts took their time answering the phone. Two ailing women in that big old house, they had trouble making it from the patio to the lounge room, where a small coin-operated telephone was still connected, even though nobody used it anymore. They'd run the guest house for 30 years. That whole time, they'd changed not even a painting. They were like that, as improbable as the rosy trumpet trees painted on dusty canvases that decorated the grease and dirt-covered walls. After several failed attempts, they finally picked up. They took the news of my mother's death in a bleak mood, saying little. First, I spoke to Clara, the skinny one, then to Amelia, the rotund one. They ordered me to postpone the burial for at least the time it would take them to catch the next bus to Caracas. Between them and the capital was a 3-hour journey on a road riddled with potholes and thugs. Those conditions, on top of their old age and ill health, one had diabetes, the other arthritis, would have broken them down. Those seemed reasons enough to dissuade them from coming. I said goodbye, promising to come see them soon, I was lying, so we could say a novena in the town chapel. They conceded reluctantly. I hung up the phone, sure of one thing. The world as I knew it had begun to unravel. Toward midday, two neighbors from our building appeared, expressing their condolences and letting loose a barrage of consolations, as useless as tossing bread to pigeons. Maria, a nurse who lived on the 6th floor, went on about eternal life. Gloria, from the penthouse, seemed more interested in knowing what would become of me now that I was all alone. Of course, the apartment was too large for a childless woman. Of course, the way things were, I'd have to consider renting out at least one of the rooms. Today you get paid in US dollars, Gloria said, if you're lucky enough to find someone you know. Respectable people. Good pay. There are so many crooks around. And since solitude does nobody any good, and now you're all on your own, it would be wise to have others around, wouldn't it? At least in case of an emergency. You must know someone to rent out a room to, do you? I expect you do. But if not, I have a distant cousin who right this minute is looking for a place to rent in the city. What a fabulous opportunity, don't you think? She could move in with you, and you could earn a little extra. A great idea, no? She spilled these words over the closed casket of my still-warm mother. Because, as you no doubt saw, paying the doctors and the funeral and the cemetery plot with the inflation as it is. Because no doubt all this cost you a fortune, didn't it? I'm sure you still have some money saved up, but with your aunts being so elderly and so far away, you'll need another source of income. I'll put you in touch with my cousin, so you can put that room to good use. Gloria didn't stop talking about money for an instant. Something in her little rodent eyes told me she would make off with whatever there was to take from my situation, or would at least improve her own circumstances by leveraging mine. That's the way we were all living, peering at what was in each other's shopping bag, sniffing out when a neighbor came home with something in short supply, so we could investigate where to get hold of it. We were all becoming suspicious and watchful. We would distort solidarity into predation.